The law is a big deal. The law is good, it's holy, and it's true. Jesus was born under the law. If it was not valid, then he didn't even have to die. There is some validity to the law, but it is not our all in all. And here, let me explain. I've had chances to be in courts, law courts, and hear judges talking. And I heard a judge talking to a couple. It wasn't me or us. He was mad. He was mad at this couple because they were arguing in court. And they were divorced. And the woman says, "We cannot relate to each other." The judge said, "I need you to be quiet and sit down." He says, "You don't need to relate to each other. I gave you this decree and these rules. And that's all you need to do." He gave them, and they left. And they said, "This, jink, I have the next case coming up." They were gone. They said, "What do you mean?" He gave them a law so they did not have to relate to each other. Because law is not the ultimate means of relating. You can use the law to check out. When you obey the law, you may not even love the person you're obeying. You may just do it just to do it. You may do it unthinkingly. The scripture says, "Be not like a mule, but be understanding what the Lord's will is." What do you mean? Well, the Lord says, don't just do things that I ask you without thinking about why you do them. You need the mind of Christ. If you're just a law person, you don't have to relate to God at all. And that's what the law can do. It's a good thing that can keep you from a better thing. Have you ever had one of those? A good thing that kept you from a better thing? It's very common. It's kind of like the devil showing up as an angel of light. Good things. Israel did a lot of good things coming to the promised land. They said no to this, no to this, no to this. They got to the promised land, got all the blessings, and that's when half of them were gone. I knew how to handle the adversity. I knew how to handle it, but I could not handle the gifts you gave me, Lord. Don't let a good thing keep you from the better thing, which is a real relationship with God. So it's apart from law. This righteousness is apart from law. It's being witnessed to by the law. The law points to it. It says it's coming. Jesus is foreshadowed throughout the whole Old Testament, all the time. And I won't go into that, but you can look it up and you can talk about it. There could be whole lessons on that, how Jesus is foreshadowed as a prophet, as a priest, as a king, as a wise man. All the prophet, priest, king, and sage. He takes it all, and brings it right forth to us. He takes the priesthood and all the sacrifices and puts them into himself. Verse 22. He's the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus. Jesus was faithful, especially with two covenants. The Abrahamic covenant, God said, "I want to have a faithful seed, and I'll bless all nations through you." And Jesus is the seed of Abraham. He was faithful to God through being faithful to the end, even to death on a cross. Faithful when it was crazy. He was crazy faithful. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was asking God those questions. He was so faithful, he fulfilled the covenant of Abraham and is our father. He's our father, just like Abraham is. He was faithful to the new covenant. God says, "I'm going to make a new covenant, not like the old covenant." This is what's so cool about it. I just got to try to explain it. God is faithful. Here's what a covenant is. I will be your God and you will be my people. God says that. I'll be your God, you be my people. I'll do my part, you do your part. Okay. I'm holy, be you holy. I am holy, you be holy. I will be your father, you will be my son. That's just what happens when somebody breaks the covenant. The first degree of covenant is that when everybody's happy and it's all going well. Well, guess what? Israel, people, sinners, break the covenant. And it doesn't always go well. So the second degree is, I'll do my part, I'm faithful, and I'm going to give you a response, a covenant response, when you fail. things to do when you fail. And they did that. That's a second degree. It's kind of like expected that this might happen, so we have some safety valves, some ways to make up for it. That's a second degree of faithfulness of God. The third degree, and this is what makes it a different covenant. I will be your God. You will be my people. Well, you can't do this. Lord, I don't have it in me. I will be your God, and I will come as Jesus Christ, and I will be your people, God, as the Son of God, as God-man, and I will fulfill your side too. God is so faithful. He is faithful to his side, and he's also faithfully to our, he's doing our side too. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm going to do it. Well, you don't know your predicament. It's like, oh my goodness. But there's a fourth degree. This is the depth of the faithfulness of God. And it hits me. It's like, I will be your God. I will be your Father. I will be your Son. Well, I can't hardly do it. The Son of God will be your Son. But I'm your enemy. And I hate you. Oh, we don't hate God. Well, it says we do. We're enmity with God. Read Romans 5. Deep down, there's hatred between us and God. Now, I'm not saying you haven't been healed of it and that the Lord's not working. But there is that depth. The Lord says, you know what? I'm still redeeming you. I'm still going to take your side. The fourth degree of faithfulness. That is profound and deep. God, Paul says, I am proud. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Why? Because it's four steps deep. It's not just this little simple thing. It is so deep. The Lord has loved you when you're an enemy. He loves you. Why would you do that, Lord? Why would you love me almost more than you love yourself? Somebody said that. God loves us more than he loves himself. Is that true? There may be something to that. Maybe something to it. Is that sacral? I don't know. But his love is so deep. He inconvenienced himself. More than that, he hurt. Look what he did. There must be something really good that he wants for us and with us for him to go through this much trouble. Don't let the law stand in the way of it. I want to have a real relationship with you. It's the faithfulness of Jesus. For all who believe. Here's the belief part. It is for everybody that believes. Well, does that sound like, is that something I do? Yes, it's like holding God's hand. Now, you're going to walk in faith, but you're actually holding his big hand. And your little hand is in his big hand, and he is controlling it, helping it, strengthening it. And you may take a step. Well, it's all me, isn't it? Well, if he lets you go, there's not, you will fall. It's really the Lord helping you with your faith. Your faith is in the hands of his faith and his Jesus' faithfulness, and you're able to walk by faith as he's holding your hand. Most people in here has had a child trying to help them walk. It's really your grip that's holding their grip. Even though they're holding hard as they can onto your hand, that's what's going on with the Lord. He is holding. He's shaping, containing our faith and lifting it up. And that is cool, because sometimes I don't feel like I have a lot of faith. Lord knows it. Lord says, look, I know this. I've got 4 degrees of this worked out. You may not be my enemy. Maybe you love me. I may have touched your heart and healed you, but you still may be having trouble walking. Don't worry, I got it covered. I am faithful. Let me have your hand. Lord, let's walk. This is what the Lord is doing. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. There's no distinction. You can be rich, poor, any color, male, female, brilliant, whatever, a TV watcher that just watches TV all, it doesn't matter. Lord says you can come by faith. He says all have sinned, because all have sinned, and everybody comes from the same, because everybody's on the same standing. And you know, you heard of transactional analysis, I'm okay, you're okay, that kind of stuff. It's really, I'm a mess, you're a mess. That's what it is. And that's that kind of equals things out. So when I see people in prison, you know, I know, Frank, I know it's cool you go there all the time. It's like, I'm a mess, you're a mess. It really does make the conversations more real. There's not that condescending stuff going on. It's like, I'm a mess. Well, I've been murdering people. It's like, hey, I am a sinner. But I'm a saved sinner, and I know Jesus Christ. Everybody has fallen. It says they are falling short. That's present tense. We have sinned, but we're falling short. What makes an arrow fall? The word for sin is missing the mark, and it's like shooting an arrow and it falls short. Well, we know it's gravity. Gravity, you know, well, you just didn't get that gravity worked out there. And everybody's in orbit about something. Everybody's kind of in orbit. You know, gravity keeps things in orbit. As it falls, it's also pulled, and it goes around and around. But some people say, man, you're on another planet. You know, we know people like that. But we're orbiting around the Lord God, His things. And for something to orbit, it has to be a lot of mass. It has to be a lot of heaviness. It says we've fallen from the glory of God. The word for glory is heavy. You know, that's the word for heavy. Weight. Heavy. The Lord is the heaviest of all things. We need to orbit around Him. But, you know, oh boy, what are you doing that? Take comfort. The heaviest things will hold you in orbit. You go right Jupiter, you cannot escape Jupiter if you go right by it in a little craft. You will be orbiting Jupiter, maybe even going to the surface. It is so dense, and it takes, the Lord God is so heavy. He will draw you in. And don't think that anybody can draw you out. He said, nobody can snatch you out of my hand. He is powerful. Trust in His power to keep you. He is able to save. He is able to keep you. The righteousness of God, verse 24, through the redemption in Christ. Redemption is a word, it means freedom. When you heard that, the most of the people in those days were slaves. The majority of people, and so everybody's like, redemption means I get free. That's when I pay my debt and go free. And also, there's another element, redemption. This is the same word used for when the children of Israel left Egypt. They were free of Egypt and put it behind, and they're able to go on with their lives into a new adventure with God. And it says, Paul says, I am not ashamed of this gospel because it's about redemption. Did you ever have anything you needed redeeming? A guy that was a singer up in New Jersey, he sang this song about, where do I go when all my years have been wasted? Mister. He was like, I thought that was a great song. Where do you go when all your days have been wasted? You go to one that can redeem you, who can set you free, to open up a new vista for you. And there's only one that can do it. It's Jesus. He's the one that redeems. Verse 25, Jesus, whom God offered as a mercy seat through faith in His blood. The mercy seat was in the temple. It was in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And only one person even got near it every year. During the Day of Atonement to offer sacrifices for Israel, it's the covenant renewal. If you mess that up, it didn't matter how many sacrifices you did all year. You mess up the Day of Atonement, they don't count. That's a big sacrifice. A huge. It's the cherubim and the golden plates sitting on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and they shuddered to go into it because that's the presence of the Holy God. Yet it was the greatest honor you could have to go into there. But you must go with blood. And Jesus is the mercy seat of God. He's where it's happening. He is the temple. He says, I'm going to build the temple. I'm the temple. Jesus said, He is the temple. The presence of the Holy God is Jesus. He's the place of sacrifice. He's the place where the blood is. Oh, that blood is a messy thing. I don't know if I want that. Oh, I think you do want the blood. Because the blood shows something. I went to school with a guy from Romania, and that was Romania before any freedom at all. And he was a priest. And he got up one morning and he was shaking. And, you know, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I've been struggling with the demon." And I didn't know what to think about that. I'll be honest with you, I'm real skeptical. Oh, okay, okay. But the more I listened to him, I think he was right on. But he told me what happened. He says, "You know, it came down to the blood of Jesus. I had to cry out with the blood of Jesus, and I got through it." He says, "The blood of Jesus is the most single most precious substance and the single most powerful substance in the universe." And I've heard that before, but it hit me, because it is. You're pleading the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you, Larry. Yes, it's cleansed you, David. And Pat, the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. And it's easy to... I have doubted that sometimes. Did the blood of Jesus really cleanse me? But what that means, if that's not true, that means Jesus, God has to take back the incarnation, the life of Jesus, and take back the crucifixion and his resurrection. If the blood of Jesus is not working, and he's not taking it back, because that stands. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. You know, Danielle, it's cleansing you, making you. It is your life. Oh, what confidence we can have! Going back to the Jewish, I ask a Jewish believer, Messianic Jew, "What do you think about the Gentile Christians?" He says, "I only have one thing to say to you all." I said, "Okay, I want to hear it." "Y'all lack the confidence we have as Jews." I said, "I think you're overconfident, really." That's what I wanted to say. But of course I would say that, since I'm a doubter. You know, it's like, "Oh, I'm just..." But he was right in this regard. This is such a beautiful gospel that we tend not to believe it. It's too good to be true. But it's too good not to be true. You are cleansed. This blood of Jesus, it's the most powerful thing in the world. And it's flowed here today. There is healing in that. There is hope in that. And it means, when I worked in the big industry, we were trying to watch our funds. And we had a thing about, we sought for 2 years if there is such a thing as a free lunch. And we were watching everybody's accounts, you know, who goes out for expensing this and all that, you know. And we found out there's no such thing as a free lunch. And I know that's not news to you, but there's also no such thing as a cosmic free lunch either. I mean, you're kidding me. Can't God just get over it? Can God just get over it? You know, well, he can get over it, but who pays? He pays. But he says, "You know, I want a relationship with you. You don't like me right now, but I love you. You don't even know who I am. You can't even respond to me in faithfulness. I'm going to bring Jesus and let you see somebody that knows how to live by faith, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to let you piggyback on Jesus." I like a piggyback ride. That's one of my favorite things. Piggyback rides, I love them. I mean, I can't do it now, of course, but... Unless you're Conan the Barbarian or something. But it's like, they were fun, you know. You get these guys, people are real strong, they go fast. Piggyback rides are cool. Well, we're piggybacking on Jesus right now. And it's cool. And you can get up on his shoulders and look high, too. You can do that fun stuff with Jesus. You know, he's all on his shoulders. He wants us to walk in faith. I know you can't do it. Let's don't go there. Let's don't talk about at this moment. I know you... Oh, you repent. Take my hand. Put your faith in my hand of faith, and we will go together. Paul is not ashamed of this gospel, because God is righteous, and he makes righteous. And it blows his mind. We are people of the faith of Jesus. And a Christian, the word means, Christianos means you're of the party of Christ. No, I'm not talking about a party. I'm talking about a political party. That's what that meant when they call Christians Christians. Christianos. You know, the Cheyenne, you're a Christianos. Oh, why did you just label me? The non-Christians labeled us that. Cheyenne's a Christianos. He likes Jesus. He's about Jesus' business. He thinks Jesus is the Lord. He values what Jesus values. He's a Christianos. I think that really does explain me. I think I'll start wearing that name. I'm a Christian. Another name, we are Jesus faithful. We're Jesus faithfulness people. Now, that is hard to say, but I'm trying to think about it because it puts something, it helps me think about and remember how we stand. Jesus faithfulness. We are the people of the faith of Jesus. When we are not faithful, He is. He is holding on to us. He is walking ahead of us. He is anticipating three moves ahead of us at all times. And He is excited about us. I cannot tell you how excited the Lord is to know everyone in this building. So I commend to you the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. We are people of His faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we praise you for your faithfulness this day. We honor you. Thank you that you have gone so deep with us. Lord, when we did not know, bless us to walk with you, Lord, and take your hand. Help us walk by faith. We want to take your hand, Lord, your faithfulness, and we're going to be walking in it, formed by it, led by it, and we thank you for it. And it's because of Jesus we can say it. Amen.